This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. Reports are suggesting that President Trump may delay a decision on tariffs on car and auto imports by up to 6 months. And Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin now says he plans to travel to Beijing soon to resume talks on the trade dispute that's rattled the global economic outlook. Detroit News columnist Daniel Howes is watching all of this play out from the Midwest. Hey, Daniel.
Hey there.
So some seemingly good news, but my guess is from your latest column, you don't think champagne bottles should be popped anytime soon.
No, because I think the president is holding auto tariffs in abeyance and as a club that he can use and wield whenever he wants between now and next 6 months. And I think for the auto companies, that just continues this long lengthening period of uncertainty. Because you've got companies like General Motors who import a lot of vehicles, comparatively speaking, that they sell in the United States from China, Germany, principally South Korea, Canada, and Mexico. They import more vehicles for U.S. customers than any of the American producers. Ford produces almost everything that they sell in the U.S. They produce in the U.S., so they're hedged in that sense. But I think the concern is that costs really kind of get out of control. They don't really know how to manage it, how to plan for it. And I think that's one of the biggest things. Uncertainty is one of the worst things that business has to contend with.
Meanwhile, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is trying to build this aid package for farmers who have been hurt by retaliatory tariffs imposed by China. That's in response to the tariffs that Trump initiated. Perdue said he doesn't think the current trade battles with China will cause long-term harm to U.S. farmers. You disagree?
Well, I think you got to ask individual farmers. You know, what strikes me about this, and this is not an accident, is that Trump's actions are being, the responses to his actions, I should say, are being directly targeted at Trump country. Whether it's automakers, whether it's steel, whether it's farmers in the Midwest, this is Trump country. We're not going to San Francisco and Boston here, by way of making the point. And so I think that is intentional on the part of the Chinese. And frankly, the EU and the Japanese, who are sitting on the sidelines watching this, are already preparing lists that would do the same thing. You know, whether it's Harley-Davidson motorcycles in Wisconsin, Kentucky bourbon in Kentucky, you name it. I mean, those are the products that they're going to go after. And the president then has to answer for that. So the longer we go here and we get closer and closer into the presidential cycle, the more this becomes an issue for the president, and I think it becomes a club that his adversaries can wield against him in his own party, and particularly in the Democratic Party.
Well, you note in today's column, quote, almost midway through the third year of his presidency, his administration has not delivered a revised NAFTA, has not improved terms with Japan and the European Union, and has not reached agreement with China. Is there an end game here?
Well, the end game is this is his promise, right? And if nothing else, Donald Trump tends to be very focused on campaign promises. But I think what he's running into here, or I know what he's running into, is the reality of partisan politics and international trade. And it's not as easy as he thinks it was going to be. I was with a group of guys over the weekend, and I said to one of them, I said, I'll make you a bet that President Trump does not get to his reelect and have a NAFTA 2.0 to his credit. Because, I mean, even if he can get some of the Republicans to help him, and I think you're starting to see that a little bit, he's pushing his own team to work out something with Canada and Mexico over the steel and aluminum tariffs. The Democrats in Congress have zero motivation to give him a political win. Zero. So, I mean, how is he going to get this NAFTA 2.0, much less an accord with China, through a divided Congress?
But in the end, election-wise, right, for Michigan, we are still hearing from plenty of Trump supporters, even here in Michigan, who are saying, yep, we understand tariffs might be bad, that they might hurt us, but something has to be done, and at least he's doing something.
Well, that's true, and I got some of that mail today, actually, saying the same thing, saying, you know, I normally agree with you, or, you know, but I think Trump's doing the right thing. It's not that there aren't trade issues with China. There are, and intellectual property clearly is one of those things. The way in which they treat foreign investment is another thing. I mean, there's a whole long list of things. But that's not what the president is focused on, at least not at the top line. And that's not what's affecting the international markets. He's focusing on taking much more of a blunderbuss approach here and essentially having a trans-Pacific bumping of the bellies with Xi Jinping, and to see who's bigger and who's tougher. And that kind of game with a personality like Donald Trump and the leader of China could not necessarily end well. So we have to wait and see how this plays out. But sure, there's no question that there are serious issues with China. But I think a lot of people would say, let's focus on the serious issues and not get in this tit-for-tat game that just makes a lot of investors around the world very nervous.
Daniel Howes of the Detroit News joins us Thursdays here on Stateside. Thanks so much.
Thank you.